Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata. Today, we're talking about the storied history of Buffalo's bars and taverns.
Yes, some of our earliest businesses, as soon as Buffalo began to grow, were bars and taverns to serve the many dock workers we had, the workers who were working on the Erie Canal. We have this history, a long history, of having a lot of blue-collar workers, people who work long hours, and at the end of that day, they want to relax, have a couple drinks, and socialize with friends.
And there's a bar for everyone in town, whether you want music, whether you just want to converse with friends, want to play games, they're all here. Eat?
Yes. This is our second bar issue, actually. And in our first bar issue, we just went for like the really iconic places, Ulrich's and Founding Fathers, and places that you absolutely could not leave out. We took a different approach this time, and we sort of went by themes. So we looked for bars that offer karaoke. We looked for bars that offer live music for cheap or free. So if you just want to go in and have a drink and there happens to be a band playing, no one's going to come up and say this is a $12 cover charge or something like that. And we also tried for great geographic diversity. You'll find bars here in North Tonawanda, in Hamburg, in East Aurora, in regular Tonawanda,
in
Amherst, in Snyder.
My hometown,
yes.
A bar I go to quite often, Loughran's.
That's right. And also bars throughout the city of Buffalo in places all over Buffalo, not just in the Elmwood Village area or downtown, but also in the East Side, in North Buffalo, in Black Rock. So there was a lot of bars here, and I have to give my writers credit for finding bars that many I had not even heard of.
This is very timely because the February issue coincides with action by the Erie County Legislature to maintain the 4 a.m. closing time for bars here. And what do you come down on this closing time issue?
Well, this is my opinion. It's not the opinion of Buffalo Spree, of course. But, you know, I live in Allentown, which is a neighborhood of many bars, and I followed this very closely. And what disturbed me is that everything was anecdotal. My life will be better if the closing time is 2 a.m. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. And I think that statement's quite easy to refute. You need only find one instance for it to be wrong. And I didn't hear enough hard data. I would have liked there to have been a real study, a period, maybe a committee getting together, looking at other municipalities who changed their time, those who did not change their time, what are their crime statistics, what were their DWI statistics. And I believe that you can measure quality of life circumstances as well. So I just don't think they did their homework, and I suppose the legislature agreed.
And since you live in Allentown, you don't find the noise disruptive?
Well, no, not really. I suppose that we're used to seeing people walk up and down the street at all hours of the night, and people going in and out of bars. And I must assure you that before we moved to Allentown, we did know that there would be bars there. And one of the reasons we enjoy living in Allentown is because of all the entertainment options that we have. I'd also add that bars are small businesses. So this earlier closing time would have affected a lot of small businesses economically. And when you're going to do something like that, then you better have your facts right.
Now, the last time I closed a bar at 4 a.m. was a few years ago. I had finished election night coverage. I put my stories to bed shortly after 3 o'clock. I was heading home and hit the neighborhood bar at 3:30 for a drink, and I closed the bar at 4 o'clock.
See, you needed that bar to be open because you'd work late. Well, what about all the people who work in restaurants? A lot of chefs and other kitchen workers don't get out of work until like 1 or so. Once they have to wait till the last guest leaves, make sure everything's clean. Where are they supposed to go?
Now, you talked about the nothing good happens after 2 a.m. in a bar, and I've heard that, and a lot of people say it, and I suppose I could point to LaShawn McCoy this past week as a prime example of nothing good happening after 2 o'clock in a bar, but these are just anecdotal.
It is just anecdotal, and for that one instance, there are many other instances of people, of wonderful things happening after 2 a.m. in a bar. One of the most common would be, of course, hearing some great music. There is, I suppose it's a restaurant rather than a bar, but near me, Mother's actually serves a full meal. You get a full dinner at 2 a.m. I call that something good.
Yeah, yeah. But when it comes to the music, what about those of us who don't want to stay out till 3 or 4? You know, having the music start at 8 or 9 probably is preferable.
Well, if we're going to make those changes and insist that a whole category of small businesses completely change the way that they're doing things, again, Mark, I think we need the data. It's not for us to say when other people need to listen to music. I think we really need good reasons to make that kind of sweeping change.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also in the February issue, you write about the arts, as you usually do. And I was struck that it's been 25 years that the Tri-Maine building has been open as a showcase place for artists to work. And it shows that the arts are good business here in the city of Buffalo.
Absolutely, Mark. And that building is not just a great example of a place where the arts thrive. It's a wonderful example of how our aging industrial buildings can be successfully reused, because you've got a lot of businesses there as well. And I remember when Buffalo Art Studio first moved in there. I remember when Hallwalls was there for a time. It's a wonderful space. There are some great artist studios there, some wonderful potters, painters, artists of all description working there, and we're very fortunate to have it.
So what's on display there?
Well, right now they have a two-person show, Peter Sawicki and Mark Snyder, who's a sculptor. Peter makes very large handmade paper, mixed media works. They come across as paintings, but what's interesting about them is that the texture that they have, because of the thickness of the handmade paper, that make them kind of sculptural in nature.
And what else did you take a look at in the February issue?
Well, I personally previewed a wonderful show by a painter named Peter Stevens that is at Nina Freudenheim Gallery, and that show happens this weekend, actually, on Saturday. I highly recommend that people see it. Peter has been painting for a long time, but somehow he always manages to find some new way of doing things, and he attacks some new way of making what are basically abstract paintings, but they're really fun, very colorful, and I highly recommend it. Another fun thing that's happening is there is some long-running theater that includes Love's Passionate Fire, Shakespeare's sonnets. Even though by now Valentine's Day is over, people might still want to celebrate it, and some other great plays. And we always have wonderful classical music. We've got a lot of arts coverage in Spree every single month, and I encourage our readers to take advantage of what Buffalo has to offer.
Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.